Timothy and chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Give you time to find that while I get situated here. I'm getting nothing from that one. All right. Good. Only one wire today. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let's read 2 Timothy chapter 4 and just the first 8 verses. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I charge thee therefore, Paul writes to Timothy, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. All right. Where we are here in this passage in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy is the last of Paul's writings, chronologically speaking. It's the last thing he wrote before what he says here, I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Paul's getting ready to die, and not by natural causes. So this is, and not only is 2 Timothy the last writing of Paul, but the passage we're in here is at the end of that. So this is really, those words that we're reading there are really the last words of the Apostle Paul. And what he does in this passage here is he, knowing, obviously, that he's about to depart and to be with Christ, he kind of sums up his own life in this charge that he gives to Timothy. And he writes his own epitaph there in verse 7. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. And that's the epitaph of the Apostle Paul. That's his own eulogy written by him. If you had the chance to write your own eulogy, your own epitaph, and you do, you can do that if you want. What would you want them to say about you at the end of your life? We say a lot of things about people at funerals and at memorial services. He was a good person. She was a kind woman. They were my friend. We say that a lot. All kind of things we try to speak well of the departed, right? Paul says, you want to speak well of me? Here's what you say. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I have kept the faith. That's how Paul wanted to be remembered. That's what summed up his life. Now, that statement there is not, it is something of a self-authored eulogy, an epitaph, but that's not why Paul writes it here. Paul writes that as the pattern, as he is, for every saint and every church in this dispensation of the grace of God that was committed to his trust, when he says, I've fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith, That's what was given him to do by the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's what is given to each and every one of us to do. And Paul, he's not just saying good stuff about himself here before he dies. He's leaving us an example. What do you want your life to sum up as? What is the summation of your life going to be? We've got a lot of priorities, a lot of things we think are important, things people want to be known for. If you're a Christian, if you're a saved person this morning, this is what you want to be known for. Because that epitaph isn't going to last just for a generation or two until they forget about you. That one's going to last forever, for all eternity. So that's what you're looking for. Now, when Paul says what we're specifically going to be talking about here this morning now, is that last part of verse 7, I kept the faith. What does it mean to keep the faith? That's a term that we use. It's not unfamiliar to us in modern day. When someone is going through a hard time, we tell them, hey, keep the faith, right? Basically, that means everything between cheer up, to keep trusting, you know, keep believing, don't let it get you. So is that what keep the faith means? Well, that's a part of what it means. Your own internal maintaining of your own faith, to not let your faith waver or falter. But it means more than that. What Paul is doing here, again, verse 7 is an example. It's an example of what he's been talking about in this epistle in particular and in all his epistles. We saw to the Thessalonians in our scripture reading how much of an emphasis he put on keeping the faith, standing fast, not being moved. He says, I'll die if you people are moved. Don't be moved. So keeping the faith, look back in this same book, just a few chapters earlier, in chapter 2, and see what Paul is talking about there, because that threefold epitaph of his, I've fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith. What he's doing there is he's repeating something that he's already said to Timothy. But when he said it to Timothy, it was an exhortation to Timothy. At the end, when he says it about himself, he's saying, I've done what I'm telling you to do. 2 Timothy chapter 2, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So Paul is telling Timothy here, be strong in the grace that's in Christ, and war a good warfare. And he calls him a soldier here. And then, of course, in our passage in chapter 4, verse 7, what does he say about himself? I've fought a good fight. I've been that soldier that I'm now commissioning you to be. And he says, remember what you've learned from me, what you've seen in me, what you've heard in me, and do those things. Be a good soldier. Verse 4 of chapter 2. Verse 5. If a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. Well, now Paul's not a soldier anymore. He's an athlete striving for masteries. That's what that is. Now, he's still a soldier, but he's taken on another hat now. Now he's a soldier and an athlete. And his point there is, with the soldier, it's don't get entangled with the affairs of this life. Don't get pulled away from the focus. Don't let your life end up meaning something other than chapter 4, verse 7. Amen. Don't get entangled in that stuff. A good soldier doesn't do that. Now here in verse 5, for an athlete, he who strives for the masteries, the issue there is to do it lawfully. Because otherwise, if you cheat in the race, you don't get the prize at the other end, right? It doesn't count if you cheat. Now, what does that mean in the context of what Paul's talking about? What is lawfully? Well, it's to do it according to the Word of God. We don't run this race any old way. And Paul says when he talks about his own race, he says, I'm not shadow boxing out here. I'm not one as one that beateth the air. I'm not just swinging wildly and blindly. I've got a target that I'm trying to hit. You and I have a target that we're trying to hit. Now look, we're pressing toward a mark. And that mark is the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are all, the world is just one giant net waiting to entangle us. Every little hole that you can get your little fin caught into there and flop around in that thing helplessly is just another temptation, another opportunity to pull your life away from chapter 4, verse 7. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I have kept the faith. That's the focus. That's the target. That's what we're swinging for. That's that finish line. So Paul says if a man strives for the masteries, he's got to do it according to this word. He's got to do it lawfully. He's got to do it according to truth. You know what that means? That means you have to know this word. It means you have to know it. You can't follow it if you don't know it. A brother was talking in Sunday school this morning, the importance of being in this book, each and every one of us. It's not enough to come here on Sunday and hear the Word of God. You've got to take it home with you. You come here on Sunday to give you something to maybe springboard off of for the rest of the week. Amen. Then come back next Sunday and get it again, because the rest of the week somebody's working on the next thing to give you a springboard. That's what we do. That's how we work with each other. As an army, as an athletic team, look at it however you want. Paul uses all those illustrations. So, endure hardness as a good soldier. Strive for the masteries. You're a soldier. You're an athlete. And then in verse 6, chapter 2, verse 6, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Well, now you're a farmer. So you're a soldier, you're an athlete, and you're a farmer. And that's what Paul is telling Timothy to be. That means we plant seed, right? And we cultivate that. We do it in our own lives, and we do it out there in the world. Because you and I shine as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. You understand that, right? A crooked and perverse nation, when we started this passage in 2 Timothy 4, Paul says, I charge you to preach the word in season and out of season. You know what you and I are today, Christian? We're out of season. We are out of season. So what do we do about it? We preach the word. We stand fast in the faith. We keep our eye on that prize. But now you've got these three things here. Good soldier, good athlete, and good farmer. And the idea of the farmer there is the reward. He's going to be first partaker of the fruits. So now with those three things, and then in verse 7, Paul says, consider all that. Consider what I say. And the Lord give thee understanding in all things. What are you talking about, Paul? What are you talking about, soldier? I'm not in the military. You're talking about athlete, farmer. Well, we know what Paul's talking about. He's making spiritual application. And that's what he's talking about in chapter 4, verse 7. When he says, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. Fought a good fight, that's a soldier. I finished my course, that's an athlete running a race. I have kept the faith is that farmer. Back in Genesis chapter 1, you remember when God put Adam here on this earth to be his guy, what did he put him here to do? To dress and to keep that garden. To keep it. What does that mean? It means to maintain it, to protect it, to work it. He was a groundskeeper. Adam was. What's a groundskeeper? Someone who keeps the grounds. So when Paul says, I've kept the faith, that's what he's talking about. I took it, I guarded it, I defended it, I maintained it, I cultivated it, I kept it. Like that good farmer that I'm calling you to be, Timothy. And then tells Timothy, what I'm telling you, you tell to the next generation. So they can tell it to the next. Why? So the faith can be kept. So that you and I, sitting here today, 2,000 years later, can take up this mantle of keeping the faith. Come over to Philippians chapter 1. I'm preaching this to you this morning. I mean, you don't have to look around too much at what's going on these days to know why I'm preaching this to you this morning. And why we all ought to understand how important and necessary it is right now to encourage one another to keep the faith. And that doesn't mean, you know, keep the faith, keep a stiff upper lip, keep your chin up, stay in a good mood. It means to maintain the faith. It means to press the faith. It means to sow those seeds. There is nothing that you and I are going to do with petitions and protests. Nothing in the Word of God. He who striveth for the masteries isn't crowned, except he strive lawfully. Where in the Word of God do you see anything about petitions and protests? What do you see in the Word of God? Preach the Word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Preach the Word. Strive according to the Word. We are lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom we shine as lights in the world, holding forth the Word of life. That's what we're called to do. You don't want to go out of this life with an epitaph that you were a good activist. You want to fight a good fight. You want to finish your course. You want to keep the faith. Keep the faith. There's plenty of activists for the world to deal with out there, okay? There ain't plenty of people who know what you know. And there are plenty of people out there who need to know it. And we need to be opening our mouths and planting our feet and standing fast in the faith. This is not a time to waver. This is not a time to compromise. Listen, this kind of thing, the stuff that's going on now, Supreme Court decisions and these videos and all of this stuff that's just reminds us constantly of that there's just no bottom to this pit of wickedness. There is no stopping point. You look at that, I just said to you that we're out of season. Well, we are. But let me tell you something. There's a time, there's a window when that kind of stuff is fresh. When Satan and the world goes just that next, takes that next step, and everyone is shocked for a little while. That's a window. That's a window. That's an in-season window. For you and for me. Over time, people are going to get desensitized to that kind of thing and they're not going to care anymore. Now is the time. This is a window. This is not a time to cower. This is not a time to keep our mouth shut. This is a time to open our mouth and take advantage of this window. Stand for the faith of the gospel. Philippians chapter 1. Verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. What's that good work that God began in us? Well, he's making us into imitators of him, right? Conforming us into the image of Christ. He's going to keep doing that until the day he comes back. So what do we do in the meantime? Even as it is meet for me, verse 7, to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. So there we are again with Paul leading, spearheading the way, being the example for us. And example of what? To defend and confirm the gospel. To defend it and to confirm it. To say it, to speak it, to defend it. Now, you know, if you're going to defend the gospel, again, you're going to need to know some things about it, aren't you? You're going to have to have some equipment to answer questions and to what Paul calls convince the gainsayers. Those kinds of things. Now, if you don't have that, that's okay. Don't wait, because you can still give your testimony. Peter says, be ready always to give an answer to anyone who asks you, what's the reason for your faith? Well, you can tell them that. I don't care what you know, you can tell them that. But it goes beyond that. He says there to be ready to give an answer. We're to be prepared. You know, the time you prepare for battle is not when you're in the heat of it. The time you prepare for the race is not when you're running it. The time is now. The time is now to be out there. So I hope you've been preparing. If you haven't, I hope you'll do what Paul's exhorting you to do here. Fight a good fight. Run this race. Run it to win. Keep the faith. Look in later on in chapter 1, Philippians. Chapter 1 and verse 15, Paul says, for indeed some indeed preach Christ, Philippians 1:15, even of envy and strife, some also of goodwill. So people are out there preaching Christ with bad intent. Some doing it for the right reason. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. So Paul's got two different kind of people out here, one of them trying to help him, and one of them trying to hurt him, and they're both preaching Christ as their means of doing that. And the one is thinking, the more I preach Christ, Paul's over there in jail, and he's getting tormented for this faith that he started, so the more I press it, the more he's going to suffer for it. Supposing to add affliction to my bonds. That's what he's talking about. I'm already in chains. They're trying to make it worse. But they're preaching Christ. He says there's some other people preaching Christ doing the same thing. But they know. They know that every whip that I take, that I'm set for the defense of the gospel. And that doesn't deter me, and they're not letting it deter them. I'm set for the defense of the gospel. You know what that means? Feet planted, set. Look in Ephesians chapter 6. We know what that is. Ephesians chapter 6. That's called standing fast. Not being moved. Not being tossed to and fro with doctrine, with the doctrines of men, and not being tossed to and fro by the pressures of societal opinions and attitudes. There is an increasing effort to crush the opposition of everything that's going on out there. And people aren't satisfied to disagree. And people are not satisfied to say, okay, you know, you're a Christian, you go ahead and on with your own self and we'll go on with our stuff. No, it's not enough to agree to disagree. You must agree. Not only must you agree, you must approve and you must support and you must love what we're doing or we'll destroy you. That's the spirit that's going on out there right now. people's lives are getting destroyed for simply standing for the faith or their own personal conviction. If you dare do that, we'll destroy you. So you got to stand fast. They can't hurt you. They can't hurt you. You know, the Lord said to those guys that are going to be going into through that tribulation, He said, they're going to be delivering you up to death. But they can't harm a hair of your head. You're going to die. You're going to be martyred. But they can't harm a hair on your head. See, they can hurt your body. They can hurt you financially. They can hurt you professionally. They can hurt you, your reputation. They can't harm you. They can't harm you. Not if you got your eye on that finish line. You want to finish your life. Look what they did to the Apostle Paul. They took his finances, they took his occupation, they took everything he had. Paul says, good, I count it all dung. Get rid of it. For this. Trade it for this. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. It's the same thing he told Timothy. And in the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So now we're soldiers again. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Petitions and protests. Listen, getting out and insisting that people stop being homosexual. Don't be a fool. Don't be silly. Getting out there and insisting that we stop all of this immoral behavior. What is that going to do? It's going to, even if you were successful, you create a nation of religious people who don't think that they need salvation now, because you cleaned them up good. And they're gonna die and they're gonna burn. You need the gospel. The gospel. Not petitions and protests. Not moral outrage. You can have that. We can have that among each other. I'm outraged. I'm sure you all are too. But that's not what we bring out there. We bring the grace and love of God out there. And salvation by faith from their sins. And there ain't a one of them out there that doesn't know he's a sinner. You know that. You came to see that. The problem is that people think their sins are hid. They're the only ones that know. As long as I'm the only one that knows, I'm not going to condemn myself. I'm all good. You know what they need to know? They need to know that you know it too. And if you, wait a minute, this person knows what I've done. Oh man, what does God know? See, because you've got the Word of God to tell you what they've done. Bring that to them in love. But bring it. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. How far you think you're going to get with a devil when you tell him to quit sinning? Not very far. You think he's going to respect your petition? I'm not telling you don't be involved in your community and don't try and help people in those kinds of things. I'm telling you that when your life comes to its completion, what is your epitaph going to say? Signer of many petitions. You don't want that. We wrestle against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And that's what Paul's talking about when he says, I'm set for the defense of the gospel. He's got his feet shod and he's planted, standing fast. With what? With the preparation. He's prepared with the gospel. He's prepared to preach it. He tells the Romans, I'm a debtor to you. As much as in me is, I am ready to come to Rome and preach the gospel to you. That's the being prepared with the gospel. That's being ready to give an answer. I get when I read that in Romans, with everything that's in me, I'm ready to come. It's like a dog on the end of a leash. Just break that thing and let him go. He's chomping at the bit. To do what? For those Romans to share the gospel with them? For those Thessalonians, you remember, to perfect that which was lacking in their faith? For these unsaved, for the saved? We're in a war. We're in a race. And we're cultivating a field of lives, including our own. And then all of those around us, here, out there. You know, a farmer decides that he's going to sleep through the spring. He's not going to be happy that he made that decision come harvest. You hear what I'm saying to you? I know it's hard. It's hard to get up 5 o'clock in the morning and go out there with that seed and dig up that soil and turn that dirt and plant those seeds. And sometimes the soil just fights you, doesn't want to do what you want it to do. That's what a farmer does. He fights that battle on that battlefield. And he sows that seed. Some of it grows, some of it don't. Prays for a good harvest. But he doesn't work any less in anticipation. Is this going to be a good year or a bad year? I'm not going to plan as much. It's going to be a bad year. Well, you don't plan as much. Yeah, it's going to be a bad year. I'm set. I'm set for the defense of the gospel. Have your feet shod with the preparation. The preparation of the gospel of peace. Are you prepared? Are you prepared to give the gospel? Are you prepared to present it? Do you know it? Do you know that Jesus Christ died for your sins? Do you know that that's the only way that you or anyone else is going to be saved, is going to live for eternity with God, as opposed to burning in hell forever? That Jesus Christ died for their sins. And you need to trust that, and they need to trust that, to trust Him. That's the gospel. It's no more complicated than that. Christ died for their sins, and He rose again. Now that's all you need to know in order to tell them. So be prepared with that. Know where the verses are. But then we also need to be prepared to defend it. Well, what about this and that? You're saying that I can just go and live any way I want to live, and as long as I put my faith in Christ, I can just go out and be a murderer, and I'm going to go to heaven when I die. Yes, that's what I'm saying. Now, let's talk about that. To be prepared. Are you prepared to present it? Are you prepared to defend it? Are you prepared to answer? Are you prepared to demonstrate it, to live it, to show people without words the gospel of Jesus Christ? All of those things, the world is attacking every one of those areas. They want you to shut up, and they want you to quit living such a squeaky clean life. You annoying Christians, you. Judgmental, you know. They're not going to understand. We can tell them as much as we want. Look, we don't hate you. I'm just telling you that two homosexuals, you can call them married all you want, but that's not what they are. And you can tell me all you want about how killing those babies is for the good of the mother or of society or whatever your justification is. That's never going to fly. I'm not going to approve that. I'm not going to consent to that. But you're never going to convince them that you can do that. You can see that as the vile things that they are and still love the people. See, they don't understand that. You know what that is to them? It's hate speech, what you just said. It's hate speech. I didn't say nothing about hating you. I'm just telling them what you're doing is vile and wicked. That's all I'm telling you. I love you. They're never going to get that. You know why? Because they don't have that capacity to love someone that they disagree with on that level. They disagree with you, guess what? They hate you too. So all they know, you're a mirror. They're seeing themselves in you. How come you hate people like that? I don't hate you. I'm just telling you you're wrong. And there's a way out because you're going to answer for this wrong one day. And those are, you know, the clear and visible things. That's that window, you know, that people can recognize that, you know, there's something wrong here. Well, you use that window. Use that window and use that window for people who agree. Those things are wrong. Oh, well, let's talk about some other things. Let's talk about lying. Let's talk about pride. Let's talk about, you know, pick your favorite sin. Use it as a window. Because if that's wrong, why isn't what you're doing wrong? Use it. Are you prepared? Are you prepared? And are you prepared to stand? They want you to shut up. They want you to agree with them. And they do not want you standing in an opposing position. Sit down and shut up. So what are you going to do about that? Stand and speak. Having your loins girt about with truth in verse 14. You got to have the truth. You got to have the truth. Preach the gospel. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. You know, that breastplate of righteousness, and we're not teaching through the armor here this morning, but that breastplate of righteousness is interesting. You know what here, come over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 with me. As I'm studying through this, and we all know the stand fast verses, and we're not, you know, we could have made an outline out of that this morning, and we could have made an outline out of the armor this morning, and all those good classic, like Pastor says, it preaches good. But as I'm looking at this call to steadfastness in Paul's epistles, you know what I keep seeing over and over again? Paul tells Timothy, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. He tells the Galatians, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Don't be entangled. So that soldier again, entangleth not himself. Don't be entangled. The yoke of bondage, because circumcision doesn't matter, or uncircumcision doesn't matter. What matters? Faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Everywhere as I'm looking at this and studying this, that phrase keeps coming up. Faith and love. Know the truth, believe the truth, stand for the truth. And do it in love, in meekness, with that person's good in mind. when you and I, we put on this armor, you're not going out there with violence. We don't fight this war with violence. And I know you know that physically. You're not going out punching people, telling them to believe in Christ. I hope you're not. But we get violent with our attitudes and with our words, and we get excited. We want people to believe. Faith and love. That's what keeps reappearing here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 7. Paul, he's talking about the last days in verse 3. They're going to say peace and safety and sudden destruction and so forth. So, therefore, look at verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. So there again, you're the watchman in the night. There's that military connotation again. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. So in Ephesians 6, he says, putting on the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation. And here he defines what he means by righteousness in Ephesians 6, here in Thessalonians. What is righteousness? Faith and love. It's the same breastplate. Faith, truth. John says when the Lord Jesus Christ came, you know what he brought? He brought grace and truth. What do you and I live by but grace and truth? Faith and love. Know the truth. Stand in the truth. And do it in love. Striving for the masteries, you're not crowned except you strive lawfully. What is lawful striving? How do we fight this war? Render not evil for evil, but overcome evil with good. Right? Faith and love. That's how we fight. That's how we stand. By faith and love. By that breastplate of righteousness. And we are set for the defense of the gospel. So Paul calls Timothy, and you and me, come on back there again to 2 Timothy, to let this be our epitaph. You know, there's probably no verse of Scripture that's as common as this for a Christian request. I want you to say this at my funeral. What Paul says in 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, I've fought a good fight. Fought it lawfully. I didn't just go out there and fight. I fought a good fight. I've finished my course. You know what that means? If you don't keep your eye on that prize, on that goal, on that finish line, you never finish the course. You done run off. You run off over here, you run off over there. People, you got to be focused. If you're a soldier, if you're an athlete, and if you're a farmer, you know what all those things require? They require focus. They require dedication. They require singleness of purpose. Singleness of purpose. One goal. To stand. So that when I come to the end, I will not have been moved. This is where the Lord put me. He has continued this work in me, and now here I am, and I'm still here. That's where you want to be. That's where you want to be found. Standing. Don't let them move you. Don't let the abounding iniquity let your love wax cold either. You don't need to get mad at them. You get mad as you want to get at the wickedness you ought to be. David says, Lord, I love your way and I hate every false way. But those people, Paul says, convince them. Convince them. They're taken captive by Satan at his will. Deliver them. Talk to them. if peradventure God will grant them repentance to the saving of themselves out of that snare. We're not fighting against them. We're not fighting against them. But we're fighting. Don't disengage from the battle. Step into the battle. Just understand who your enemy is. We've got a battlefield. It's called faith. Faith and love. That's what we're fighting for, and it's what we're fighting with. And there's a lot of Christians who have decided that they're going to go off and they're going to fight on some other battlefield. And they're fighting you and I hope you and I, we're fighting on this battlefield. And Paul says, you know what we're wrestling against is principalities and powers and spiritual rulers of the darkness. Big, ugly, strong, powerful devils. Much bigger than you. Scary things if it wasn't for faith and love. We're fighting against those guys. We got brethren off in the next battlefield. They're fighting hard. They're fighting sincerely. They got the bayonets out and they're charging against an army of straw dummies. And you're fighting the real enemy over here and you're going, hey, I could use some help over here on the real battlefield. Don't you leave the battlefield. You fight the war God gave you to fight. Call them over. Don't let them pull you over. The Christian church has formed an unholy alliance with Rome in the last 10, 20, 30 years under the guise of this conservative movement that we all love so much. Let me tell you something. Rome isn't going to hold that conservatism, because what the Christian church has forgotten about Rome is that she's a chameleon. And she does what's expedient. She does what's in her own best interest. And she will turn on you. She will turn on you just as quick as she got into bed with you. Don't join that alliance. Look, I'm as conservative as the next guy. But that's not what it's about. Verse 8, 2 Timothy 4:8. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So Paul says, I'm getting that crown. How do you get that crown? You get that crown by striving lawfully. But you get it by striving. You don't get it by kicking back, waiting at the starting line. See, Lord, he began a good work in me, so I'm just going to sit here and wait for him to complete it until the day of Christ. Well, he'll get you to the finish line. But Paul's looking for more than that here. You got that already. The moment you got saved, you got that. Now, as saved Christians, we're called. We're called. You are called, Christian. You're called to fight a battle, to fight a war. You're called to run. You're called to prepare for that battle. You're called to prepare for that race. And you're called to fight it, and you're called to run it, and you're called to run it to win. With zeal, fervently. Do all things fervently as unto the Lord. Don't duck out. Don't duck out of the race. Don't duck out of the battle. Don't defect. And don't let them pull you out. Don't let them capture you. Don't let them take you captive. Don't fall into their snare. And don't fall into the desire of your own flesh. Faith and love. Stand fast. Keep the faith. Keep it in yourself. Stir up that gift. Be in this book. Pray. Keep your eyes on that prize. We got stuff to do, people. We got stuff to do. Let's be doing it. We're done. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, and we praise you that you give us the faith, the strength, the love to endure anything that the adversary can throw at us. He has no power, no power over us, Lord. They can do what they will, but they can't harm us. They cannot take a single thing from us that matters. Not a single eternal thing. They can't touch it. All they can do is to enhance it, to fertilize these fields that we're sowing, Lord. Sometimes the fields are fertilized with the blood of the martyrs. But then from that has come some of the greatest growth in our history. I want to thank you, Lord, that we are living out of season. Thank you for that opportunity. And Lord, I pray that you would change that through us in our Savior's name. Amen.